This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. This is Carol Foster, and I would like to introduce our guest teacher, Pastor Bruce Dowell. He's going to be teaching on generational curses. You can download his notes at sectim.org. Pastor Dowell?
You were chosen for such a time as this. It's almost said that you live in the last days. We're not going to just beat devils out of our own lives. We're going to be required, because we are the army of God, to push devils back even further. But it starts here. But God chose you for this time, because there's something in you that's a warrior. There's something that is in you that won't quit even against insurmountable odds. God has picked you. Amen? So B, Jericho. These are enemies, this is a typo, enemies that quietly hide. Quietly hide. You know, Jericho was a stronghold that just happens to be in the way. That's what it is. Think about it. Israel leaves Egypt, goes out, wanders around the desert for 40 years, and just happens to end up at the Jordan River directly across from Jericho. I've been there many times. I mean, it's just a quarter of a mile. It's a huge plain on the east side of the Jericho, or where Israel was in camp, and here's Jericho, right up by the river. They just end up there. Well, they didn't just end up there, that's where God put them. You know, God could have put them 5 miles north on the river, and they could have just crossed over and not had to do any battle with anybody. But God said, no, I'm not going to leave the enemy in the land any longer. He's coming out. And that's what the Lord is saying to us today. The enemy's on your papers. They're coming out today. Amen? You run smack into them. That's no mistake. God has put you where you're at. And today is the day of deliverance. Amen? This is Jericho's not the last stronghold we're going to run into. You know, if you cross over and you defeat Jericho, then Ai is just up the road a little ways. And then you got Armageddon, further up the road. And you got to take all of these strongholds as you come to them. This is not a one-time event. This is a lifetime event for us. As you bump into these silent enemies, it would just like to sit there and be forgotten, really. They would like you to bypass them. But God's not going to do that. God's cleaning house in these days. Judgment begins where? In the house of the Lord. How are we going to clean up the world if we can't even clean up our own lives? Come on, let's get real. Let's just be real for a few minutes here. Okay? We've got to clean up our own life. Then we can start cleaning up the world. And how many know that in Jewish thought, Tikkun Olam is a big part of Jewish thought. It means repairing the world. That's what we've been called to do. You realize, you know, if the Lord returns today, we're living on this earth for another 1,000 years. It's not going to be reworked and redone. God expects us to be cleaning up the world. That means spiritually and otherwise. Yeah. So in B, Jericho, enemies that quietly hide.
Okay? C. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 9. The third enemy that we're going to contend with today, we find in Joshua chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 8. This is the story of the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were a people that had also heard and feared Israel. But they had a plan. They said, we're not going to be conquered like everybody else has been doing. That's just ridiculous. So we have a plan. And they dressed up in real old holy clothes, got moldy bread, old wine skins, made it look like they traveled on a journey for miles and miles and miles. And they came to Israel, they came to Joshua, and they gave him this whole story about, oh, we've traveled so far, we wanted to make peace with you, we've heard about the wondrous things God has done. And the whole time, they're actually the neighbors. The next door neighbors. They just don't want to be defeated. And so look what happens in verse 8. They, the Gibeonites, said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you? Where have you come from? They said to him, from a very far country your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who lived at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the residents of our country said to us, take provisions for the journey and go to meet the Israelites and say to them, we are your servants, and now make a covenant with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision out of our houses on the day we set out to go to you. But now behold, it is dry and has become moldy. These wineskins which we filled were new, and behold, they are torn, and our garments and our shoes have become old because of the very long journey. So the Israelite men partook of their food and did not consult the Lord. Joshua, great man Joshua, made peace with them, covenanting with them to let them live, and the assembly's leaders swore to them. Now, see, this is the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites deceitfully befriend you. These are like the generational curses. These are those neighbors that have just always been there. You don't even think about them. Sometimes with generational curses, you just think it's a part of who you are. One of the gals last night up in Crestline is telling us how in her family, every single female in her family for as many generations back as they can think became pregnant out of wedlock. It was just her family line. It's just what happened in their family. It's just the way it was in their particular family. I'm telling you, that's an enemy. That's not God. That's an enemy that has snuck in and made them think that this is just the norm. What kind of enemy has come into your family and makes you think that it's the norm? You know, some families are prone to heart attacks. Well, it's just in our family. Wrong. High blood pressure. Just runs in our family. Wrong. Cancer. Every other disease. It's the enemy making you think that it belongs there. And it doesn't. You belong to the Lord. The Lord shed His blood for you. You are bought and purchased and paid for by the blood of Yeshua. The devil has nothing in you, or should have nothing in you. Amen? Forget this. It's always been part of our family line. Today it stops right here. Your family line is the line of Yeshua. I don't recall Yeshua ever had any of these diseases. I don't
recall Yeshua living in abject poverty. You realize he had two national headquarters? One in the south, one in the north. It's right there in the scriptures. He wore a tunic. It was very expensive. He did just fine.
You realize he didn't worry about his taxes. He just paid them. He had what he needed. That's your heritage. Yeshua. Amen? So the Gibeonites, they come in and they befriend you. They've just always been there. All right, quickly in Roman numeral 3, we're going to look at three steps here to breaking generational curses this morning. Letter A, the first thing is you have to be born again. Nothing that I'm teaching you works unless you're born again. Being born again is the first step. Everybody agree with that? And so here's what I want to do. I want to give you an opportunity today. If you're here, you've never been born again, you've never given your life to the Lord, or you're not sure that you're born again, you're not sure that you're saved, I want you to get out of your seat and come right up here to the front right now so I can pray for you. Anyone at all, young or old, it does not matter. If you have any question about your salvation, everything I'm talking about hinges on this single point. Anybody? Young or old? All right. Then we're all saved, correct? We're all born again. Okay, you got one out of three. We're doing good. Letter B, the second step in breaking generational curses, you must believe and understand that your weapons are capable of mass destruction. Your weapons are capable of mass destruction. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Reading out of the Amplified Bible, it says, "For though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh, and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God." Mighty before God. Everyone say that. Mighty before God. "For the overthrow and destruction of strongholds." Now, how many would say generational curses are strongholds? They're Goliaths. They're Jerichos. They're Gibeonites. They're strongholds. Forget about the generational curses for a moment. What about your own sin? They're strongholds. And the Lord says, your weapons are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. 5. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings. See, we've got to get all of this faith out of our head and onto the street. You can know everything about the Bible, but if you don't employ it, it's all useless. Does everybody understand that? Just having it in your head doesn't do you any good. You've got to get it in your head, and then you've got to employ it. Isn't that what James says? Faith without works is dead. He that hears the word goes away and forgets it, doesn't employ it, is a double-minded man. And he shouldn't think that he's going to get anything from the Lord. It goes on. "We refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Yeshua the Messiah, being ready or being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience when your own submission and obedience are fully secured and complete." Are you ready to discipline insubordination? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, just checking. We don't end there with 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 51. I want to show you here about your weapons of mass destruction. Because you've got to understand that that Goliath standing in front of you, he only looks big. Understand that? Your weapons can take him out faster than he can blink. And he knows it. The only one that doesn't know it is me. That's what I've got to learn. That's what I've got to employ. Jeremiah 51:20. You know what? I'm going to read this out of the Jewish Bible. So let me go there. Okay. You are my war club and weapons of war. Who is? You. You. You are my war club and weapons of war. With you, I shatter nations. With you, I destroy kingdoms. With you, I shatter horses and their riders. With you, I shatter chariots and their drivers, and on it goes. So you are a war club in the hand of the Lord. Let's not stop right there. Let's go to Psalm 144. Psalm 144 and verse 1, what it says, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, and my keen and firm strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Amen. And let's turn over to Matthew, last scripture for weapons of mass destruction. This is the biggest one, Matthew 16. The list is already fairly impressive. Matthew 16, and we're going to start in verse 15. We know the story. The Lord and His disciples are at Caesarea Philippi, and the Lord says to His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they throw out a whole bunch of answers. And then the Lord points the question right to the Talmudim, and he says in verse 15, "But you," he said to them, "who do you say that I am?" See, it doesn't matter what others are saying. It only matters what you're saying. Who do you say that Yeshua HaMashiach is? Shimon Kefa answered, "You are the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." Shimon Bar Yochanan, Yeshua said to him, "How blessed you are, for no human being revealed this to you." Simon is the first one to get the revelation. He has got the revelation. He understands who Yeshua really is. He's not just some itinerant rabbi running around the country preaching the good news. Oh no, it goes much further than that. "You are the Mashiach. For no human being revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. I also tell you this, you are Kepha," which means rock. "And upon this rock," now upon this rock is not upon Peter. The rock here is the revelation. Which revelation? The one that the Father has given to no other man, only Peter at this point. That's the revelation. And this is the weapon of mass destruction that ends all, right here. Knowing who Yeshua is. "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it." Will not overcome what? The church or the revelation? The revelation. The church can be overcome. I mean, you're part of a church. Have you ever been overcome? course. But the revelation can never be overcome. So what's the ticket? Hang on to the revelation of who He is. It changes everything. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he warned the Talmudim not to tell anyone that he was the Mashiach. So upon this revelation, this is our number one weapon of mass destruction. You belong to the Messiah. Because you belong to the Messiah, the Lord Himself said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He said, I not only came to give you life, but I came to give you the abundance of life. Not to leave you in bondage. Not to leave you sit until He comes back. Not to leave you in abject poverty. Oh no, He's got better plans for you than any of those things. Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for a hope and for a future. Plans to prosper you and not for calamity. Is that what the Word says? That's what it says. That's what it means. Anything short of that is an assault on your faith from Hasatan. Simple as that. Now you know what it means. We're all falling short of the glory of God. So many believers think that's a pre-believer scripture. Well, now that I'm born again, I'm not falling short. We're still falling short of the glory of our God. Anybody here think you tapped into the full glory of God? Anyone? Any takers? Today we're going to move into a little bit more of His glory. This is not an end all, but it's another step. Amen? And in C, the third thing we need to do in breaking generational curses, we must regain control over our willpower. Remember, the Lord is taking us back. He's restoring, taking us back to the original. One of the things that we learn from Scripture is that the Lord shed His blood in seven different places. He sweat blood in the garden to regain willpower for us. That was the first blood he lost. Gospel of Luke says that He sweat blood out of the trauma He was going through. And what was the trauma? Think about it. He went to the Father three times that night and said, Father, if there's any other way to save man, let's talk about it. That's what He was saying. But sometimes we think it was nothing for Jesus to go to the cross. He didn't pray three times on any other thing, ever. He prayed three times, Father, if there's any other way. Is there any other way? Is there any other way? And finally, on the third time, He wins back willpower for mankind through the sweating of His blood. This blood that He sweats wins back for us our willpower. Because He says, Father, not my will be done, but Your will. Because of that act, you and I can gain back our willpower. Doesn't James tell us that when we fall into sin, it's because of our own lust that we're enticed? We don't fall into sin because we don't have strength to stand against it. You and I fall into sin because we choose to participate in it. Simple as that. We can say whatever we want. Oh, maybe once in a while we get tripped. But most of the time we know what we're doing. Let's be honest. And we choose my will, not Your will.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.